Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't make it over there yesterday, swing on over there now, check it out. That blog is still hanging around for you to read. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, so Dan, we had the NBA trading deadline come and go, and you know there were no major deals. Obviously, I think the biggest deal was the one that didn't get made. The Anthony Davis never did end up going to the Lakers. He is still a New Orleans Pelican, and I found something, I don't know if I want to call it humorous or interesting or however you want to look at it, but there's some reports out there that the Pelicans were just kind of, I guess the word is trolling the Lakers, and they were, or reports are that they were kind of hoping to cause some team discord by basically making it seem like LeBron didn't want to play with any of the other guys on that team because they were obviously all trade bait. You know, now one of the guys I heard this one from Brian Windhorst, so I'm not sure how much merit it has, but are you in on this? I think if they did it, it was incredibly cool of them, because, you know, they were upset about the tampering and they had every right to be because they did tamper. So I think this would be cool, but where do you stand on it if they trolled the Lakers?
I like it. I think it was a great idea. You know, my wife's nephew, my nephew by marriage, you know, he brought up the two. He said two seats. I told him he said five seats between him and the rest of the team. And, you know, I flat out told him, I go, I know that you're dying now, but I go, that's what separates him from the greats. I go, you know, it's that private attitude. I'm like, when LeBron doesn't get his way, he throws a fit, and it's ridiculous. Like, you're a grown-ass man. And he's like, ah. And I go back to the last year that the Heat lost in the finals, that third championship that should have been theirs. I go, you got me. I go, you had me on the train. I was, you know, LeBron Jamesing it up and all down for the Heat. And I go, and then he cries and gets carried off the court over a leg cramp.
Yeah, well, what was the other thing I found really humorous yesterday, and I'm actually surprised how gullible some of these guys are. I think there was only one sports writer or television personality, I don't even know what you would call them now, who actually really realized what was going on. But yesterday, I think it was – It was all really random. LeBron put up a post on his Instagram basically complaining about the fact that Harrison Barnes was traded in the middle of the game. He was actually playing for the Mavericks last night, and I believe they dealt him to the Kings. So, you know, they had to take him out of the game. And, I mean, you and I have seen this happen in baseball many times where, you know, a guy's been on the field and he's got to come out and start to wonder what's going on. Well, for some reason, LeBron went on this big rant about how when a, you know, when a player asks to be traded, you know, he's you know, and he used all kinds of adjectives about, you know, what a horrible person that makes him and all this other stuff. But when a player is traded, it's okay. And, you know, obviously the first thing that popped into my mind before the fact that, well, this is how the game's played and people get traded was he's talking about Anthony Davis. He's using Harrison Barnes to talk about Anthony Davis because, you know, Davis is looked at right now as basically a leper in New Orleans. And I believe they went even so far as to take him out of their opening video because they were afraid of what the fan reaction was going to be. So, but yeah, I thought it was funny that he tried to kind of work his way around it by, you know, using Harrison Barnes as the example. And I don't understand, you know, I guess the first thing I want to know is, are you on board with me here with this? And then if not, what the hell is he doing?
Well, I mean, number one, I think we know the aspirations of LeBron James, and I think he should tread lightly in what he says. You know, because you know full well when after he's done with the NBA and makes some money in Hollywood and, you know, turns his millions into billions, what's the first thing he's going to do? And, you know, I don't remember where you said the Cavaliers were on the franchise list, of, you know, from Forbes. But I believe he's going to be buying a team in 10 to 15 years. But number one, I think he needs to watch his mouth because, you know, it's all printed. So it's going to come back to bite him in about 15 years when he does the same thing. But, you know, I just, you know, it's the way it is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I believe you. He's using the Harrison Barnes thing to kind of not talk about Anthony Davis. It's kind of childish. Just come out and mean, say what you mean. Anthony Davis came out and said what he meant. And
yeah, well, you know, it was really funny because obviously you can always tell what side guys are when you listen to them talk. And, you know, LeBron has, you know, the full support of anybody who works for the Mickey Mouse Network. But oddly, Kevin Durant went off last night. I don't know if you saw his press conference, but he hasn't been talking to the media because, you know, they were, you know, basically like he said, he goes, well, you know, when I was talking to you guys, all you guys ever asked me about was free agency. All you ever asked my teammates about is my free agency, and it's causing problems. So, you know, why don't you, you know, and he was like, why don't you just let us play basketball? And he actually pointed the guy out and, you know, accused the writer of just making up stories. And I'm guessing, you know, they killed him because at one point these guys were either all sports writers or whatever, you know, whatever they're doing now. You know, now most of them are just TV talking heads because the newspaper business is dead. But, yeah, they killed Kevin Durant, but, man, they loved LeBron James. So,
well, you don't want to lose your job. You can talk about Kevin Durant.
You know, yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. I see how this is going to go now. We're just going to, you know, because Durant said something bad about the media. You know, even, you know, and I don't know the situation. Maybe it was true. Maybe the guy was just kind of pretty much making up stories. You know, he said he would go around, he would ask a couple questions, and then he would write whatever he wanted to write. So, but, yeah, you know, I was like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like Durant's the bad guy and LeBron's a saint for tampering. You know, I mean, Durant didn't break any rules. I mean, I do think he may have broken a rule because I think you are supposed to talk to the media, but, you know, that's not a major rule. LeBron actually tampered with another player under contract to another team, and nothing's going to be done about it. So,
no.
You know, I'm just kind of like, okay.
Davis was fine. Davis was fine for that dinner.
Yeah. Yeah. find a micro sum of his salary. You know, and I do find it humorous that the Pelicans are actually talking about not playing him the rest of the year, because if he was to get hurt, it would diminish his trade value because they're going to have a chance to trade him in the off season. So, you know, I don't know if, you know, I'm assuming at that point the NBA would have to step in, because I just, you know, I don't think you could sit a healthy player and they're not going to want one of their top 10 guys sitting on the sidelines, are they?
No, not at all. But, you know, he'll have to play when it comes time to national. Some ABC ESPN game.
So, yeah, I wonder if that's what they'll tell him. He has to play anytime they're on, you know, the main stream, he has to play. So... but yeah, I don't. You know, we had just a couple. You know, it ended up just being a couple minor trades. I did see the Bucks went out and acquired another former Bull. You know, they added Nikola Mirotic to Tony. You know, to the Tony Snell portion of Milwaukee there. So. You know, I figure that, you know, that was kind of interesting. But, yeah, other than that, it's just mostly, you know, I thought Toronto made an interesting deal. They picked up Marc Gasol, you know, in a pretty big package. But, yeah, other than that, I you know, there were no, like, big-time names moved. I mean, now it's more of being released so they can, you know, since they weren't traded, they can go join new teams. You know, I saw that the Knicks are finally going to release Wesley Matthews, and I think they also released Enes Kanter. And there were some rumors that the Lakers are actually going to sign Carmelo. He looks like he's going to be the guy to get the job there. So yeah, we'll still. It's a lot like the baseball trade deadline. The trade deadline's over, but we're still going to get a lot of movement. You know, because I saw that Zach Randolph is also going to be released. He was part of that Harrison Barnes trade, but apparently the Mavericks don't want to hang on to him. They're just going to let him go. And I know you and I talked about it on Twitter yesterday after the Bulls made the deal. We were trying to figure out who the next one was to go. Now, they didn't make any trades, but apparently they're in talks to buy Robin Lopez out. So I'm going to take that as a win because that was the guy I said. So.
Well, yeah, technically, because I didn't say who's being traded next. I just said who's next. As in, who's next to go?
Yeah, well, even if you'd have said traded, I'd still taken that as a win. So,
yeah.
but yeah, so kind of a flat NBA trade deadline. I mean, I know they were hoping for some, you know, some bigger moves, but yeah, they definitely did not get it. So, you know, we'll have to see. You know, what happens now and who gets released and who goes where and, you know, how things kind of, you know, kind of stumble into whatever happens. So, you know, it just to that point now. But I got such a kick out of the fact that the Lakers didn't end up with Davis. And then when the trolling thing came out, I'm like, dude, this is awesome. So... But, yeah, I was like, cool. Not that it'll make me watch the NBA, but there you go. That's kind of the trade line recap. So we can – got any more NBA stuff?
No, but that would be cool if Melo went to L.A.
Yes, wouldn't it? So I wonder how much playing time he would get. And would he sit by – would LeBron sit by him on the bench?
I think so.
Okay.
He'd have to, right?
Kind of curious. Well, I don't know. I mean, you would think, yeah, they're boys. So, you know, I would think he would sit with him. But, you know, you never know. You know, LeBron appears to be very moody. You know, I do think it'd be interesting if, like, all these guys on his team ganged up with him and just kind of, you know, kind of had a nice little chat with him in the locker room and been like, look, jerk, you know, we're here. You got to play with us. They didn't trade us. Get over it. But I don't think any, you know, I don't think those guys would do that. Maybe LeVar Ball would do that. The one time I might actually be on LeVar Ball's side is if he confronted LeBron. So.
Oh, my God. So you're going to like this one. So I get the NBA app notifications. Oh, never mind. This is for the All-Star game. But who will LeBron select as the number one pick? I actually thought they were referring to the draft, the actual NBA draft.
Yeah, well, they could. You know, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing, right? Who will he take, in the first round?
Mm-hmm.
So. Oh, but, yeah, you know, I guess sad baseball news here, Dan. I don't know if you saw this one, but Frank Robinson passed away today at the age of 83. Apparently, I didn't realize he had been ill for a while. He was actually under hospice care. In his own home, but here you go, Dan. Some of the accolades for Frank Robinson. He was a 2-time MVP, one in each league, American League and National League, the only guy to ever do that. He was a Triple Crown winner. I noticed they don't say that doesn't mean anything when they're talking about Frank Robinson. I find that kind of interesting. Rookie of the Year, he won 2 World Series. He was a World Series MVP, a 14-time All-Star. He won the All-Star Game MVP at one point in time. Picked up a Gold Glove, won a batting title, and was voted Major League Player of the Year as well as Manager of the Year when he moved into that facet of his career. 586 career home runs, was a .294 lifetime hitter. Spent 21 years in the game with Cincinnati. Spent most of his years with Cincinnati, 10 years there, 6 with Baltimore, 3 with Cleveland, 2 with California when they were the California Angels, and actually one year with the Dodgers back in 1972. So, hugely long career and one of easily one of the greatest baseball players of all time. So kind of sad, but 83's he had a long life and he did a lot with it. So, while it's sad he's gone, you can just kind of look at his accomplishments and go, holy crap, look at what this guy did. So, now were you old enough to ever get to see him? Because he ended in 76. So I got to see him a little bit as I was, really starting to learn about the game. But that's probably before you, right? Before you really remember anything?
Yeah, I mean, I got to see him as a coach. Old brain delay stuff.
Yeah. So, that's the other thing I wanted to look at. Now, Dan, I read you just kind of some of the stats and some of his accolades. When he made the Hall of Fame, he was on 89.2% of the ballots. So, and I know, Dan, I know how this is very important to you. His career WAR, wins above replacement, 107.3. So.
You know why? That's because there was less good players back then.
Is that why? So, yeah. And he actually did have 204 career stolen bases, so he could run a little bit too back in the day.
That doesn't count.
No. Like I said, though, I noticed they don't really shoot down the stats when it's, when we start talking about guys like Frank Robinson or like Hank Aaron the other day when it was his birthday. They don't question their stats like they do some of the other guys. So I find it interesting. I would like to see, Brian Kenny come out and say the stuff these guys did. Well, it really doesn't matter because this is what really matters. And, I'd like to see them try to kind of, if you're really behind all this stuff you talk about, well, get behind it. Because I think it's all crap. So... you know, I think Brian Kenny's a fraud. I think Sabermetrics are a fraud. You know, I mean, it's garbage. It doesn't really point out, you know, it doesn't tell you who great players are. You can tell who great players are just by watching them play. You know, so it's just kind of a huge joke to me. So yeah, get rid of it, and you know, just tell me who's good and who's not. You know, jerks.
Why would you watch them play when you could read a piece of paper like it's the 1930s?
Yeah, or just put some numbers into a computer to tell you what it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. I think it was a former player who actually questioned if any of these Sabermetric guys actually watched the game or if they just typed the numbers into their computer. And I'm disappointed that I can't remember which guy that was, because I thought that was quite humorous.
Well, you know, I mean, it's not like there's a magical way to watch not only every game but get every highlight facet of the game. I mean, they don't make that at all anywhere. No.
No.
You can't even pay for it, you know, if you wanted to.
Right. Terrible. So, but luckily, Dan, and I don't know how this is going to work out for me, but you know, one of my favorite guys, and I believe you like this player. I just don't think you like him as much as I do. Hunter Pence signed a minor league deal with the Texas Rangers. He got the good old invite to spring training. It's a $2 million base salary with $1.25 million in incentives. You know, I'm glad he's getting the shot here, but, you know, the Rangers have a pretty crowded outfield, so I'm not sure, you know, how it's going to work out, because, you know, they're going to play Joey Gallo, even though he's going to strike out 250 times because he's going to hit 30-plus home runs. You know, they need Delino DeShields in center because Pence can't cover that ground, and then Nomar Mazara is the right fielder, and then Sinshu Chu gets most of, if not all, of the at-bats at DH. You know, and then they have their, I don't know how long they're going to sit on their top prospect, Willie Calhoun. Sooner or later, you got to figure out if this kid can play. So I don't know, you know, if he makes the major league roster, the bats are going to come from him. Obviously, barring an injury, but I'm glad he's getting a shot.
I think he'll make the major league roster.
You know, and I mean, you know, just hopefully he's healthy, because he's battled some injuries, you know, basically three out of the last 4 years. You know, he really suffered last year. I mean, he's a career 280 hitter. Last year he hit just 226. So the injuries really, you know, have really seemed to have caught up to him. You know, I know he did actually go play some winter ball. And even, you know, it's mentioned in the article that he is open about the work he's been doing to make alterations to his swing. So hopefully, you know, hopefully he's back and he's, you know, he's close to the player he used to be at one point in time. I think that would be pretty cool. So, but yeah, I'm glad he's getting a shot. Yeah, this will be his 13th season. So,
I remember when he was a young Astro.
So, but yeah, and then finally, you know, oddly, I think we just talked about this yesterday. The Marlins apparently found a deal that they found agreeable to trade JT Realmuto, and he's going to the Phillies, Dan. What they get in return is they get the Phillies' young catcher, George Alfaro, who is, you know, he was a prospect for a few years. You know, I think he's been with the Phillies for about a year and a half. They get their top pitching prospect, who is Sixto Sanchez, and then they get another minor leaguer, Will Stewart, who I heard somebody today say he was. It was weird because they're like, well, he's not a prospect, but he had a really good year at A-ball. And I'm like, okay, well, can you be both? Now, here's the tip, Dan. He's left-handed. He made 20 starts at A-ball. He was 8-1 with a 2.06 ERA.
Not bad.
Yeah, okay, he's not a prospect, but if he can pitch like that, I'm sure he could be really helpful. So, You know, and I'm looking to see if Sanchez has got a rank here. Where do they have ranked? Baseball America has him at 13. Baseball Prospectus has him at 23. And MLB, Major League Baseball, has him at 27. He was at high A last year. He was at high A last year, only made 8 starts, so I'm guessing he was hurt. 4-3 with a 2.51 ERA. Pitched 46 2/3 innings and had 45 strikeouts with just 11 walks. So I'm guessing if he's healthy, he's got good numbers. So maybe they got something there.
Yeah, are you just maybe slightly surprised they went in division?
Yeah, you know, I am, and I'm a little surprised they settled here because, you know, there were other teams out there that I think, you know, like the Dodgers have top prospects they could have dealt. And I'm just, you know, and I'm wondering if maybe the Marlins overplayed their hand and the Dodgers just got fed up. So and this is just kind of the best they had to kind of fall back on because, you know, like I'm looking at Alfaro here. He played in 108 games last year. He hit .262, 10 home runs, 37 RBIs. He did strike out 138 times in those 108 games. So he fits right in with today's baseball. He's only 25. Sanchez is just 20. And I forgot, I got to double check here and see what Will Stewart was. I drew a blank. Stewart is just 21, and oddly, him and I share a birthday, so I got that going. So I mean, they did get 3 young guys plus $250,000 in international signing money. So I don't know. Is that enough for what they call the best catcher in baseball?
I think it's right up there. You know, that international pool money is very valuable. So, and it's not easy to come by.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just, like I said, I was a little surprised that he went to the Phillies, but the rumor is that Bryce Harper's a big fan of Real Muto.
Oh, well, there you go. So, I'm looking at the teams that were involved. I mentioned the Dodgers, but there were the Padres, the Reds, the Braves, and the Astros. And, you know, these are all allegedly teams with better farm systems than the Phillies. So I'm wondering if, you know, Derek Jeter got a little cocky, maybe just asking for too many, you know, maybe he wanted 2 of those prospects at whatever catcher they were going to get back in return or, you know, however it worked out. But, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, obviously we're not going to know for years now if this is a good deal for the Marlins because while we'll see Alfaro, Sanchez and Stewart are probably 2 to 3, maybe even 4 years away from having any shot at the big league. You know, unless Miami is going to rush them through. But, yeah, I was, like you mentioned the interdivision thing. How do you feel about it? I am a little surprised they went that way. Where do you sit on trading a big-time star like this in the division?
I think it hurts them a little more than it does any good. But I really think it's a great deal for the Padres. I mean, the Padres, the Phillies.
Especially if he's Bryce Harper's friend, right? Oh. So. So, all right, did I lose Dan? Dan, did you fall off or what did you do? Did you fall off the train? So, but anyways, while we're recouping Dan, I can tell you that it looks like the Phillies will have one more year of control before Realmuto hits the free agent market in 2021. Now, he hit .277 last year, 21 homers, 74 RBIs. He played in 125 games. Remember, he was dinged up a little to start the year. But, you know, he bounced back enough to play in 125 games. So we'll – You know, we'll see. Obviously, I believe he's like he's an upgrade over Alfaro, but I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm just not sure if they got it. They got a good package for him. And again, you know, we'll have to kind of sit on it here and wait and see if it works out. So. Kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, sorry, I dropped stuff and made a big commotion. So.
I thought you felt. You know, that just kind of happens. But yeah, you know, we did have. I gotta find it here. One of your all time favorites got signed today. Come on. Oh, where is it? Okay, it's farther down. Come on. Yeah, the Indians, I believe. No. One of your other favorites. Here it is. The Indians signed Ryan Flaherty along with this guy. So they signed infielder Ryan Flaherty and catcher Deonner Navarro to minor league deals. So there you go, former upgrade.
Hasn't he played with everybody by now?
It seems like it, but I think it was all the stops in Toronto that confused us. I can tell you here. Believe it or not, he actually started his career with the Yankees. He played 5 games there in 2004. From there, he went to the Dodgers for a couple seasons. Then it was Tampa Bay for 5, then back to the Dodgers. Spent a season in Cincinnati before coming to the Cubs. Spent a couple years part of a year with the White Sox.
I thought he played with the Sox. I couldn't remember. Now I get why you always say former great Cub or Cub great. It's because you're jealous because not that many people come and go through Seattle.
Hey, that's not true. A lot of guys come and go through Seattle. So normally that's where they end their careers, and I don't just get them ever to go into the ball.
Yeah. Well, just wait. One day we're going to be talking about a former great Mariner, Justin Grimm.
We will.
He's no longer there.
But he's also a former Cub. So see how that works out? But I do need to apologize because we actually have somebody on hold, Dan, but I can't. Kind of stuck on hold. So I do apologize. I don't know if they can hear the podcast, but yeah, I tried to bring them in. So they're just kind of stuck on hold right now.
It's a refresh.
Yeah, one of those funky things that, when I'm working with the footboard here. So, again,
it's
I do
Wednesday
apologize.
Again, is it?
No, I know. You would think. It's not. It's actually Thursday. But my email has been kind of funky all week. So, well, I'll keep working on it. Or later I can, But I didn't realize he's playing the majors. 2016 was his last year actually getting a major league at bat. So I don't know what he's been doing for the last couple of years because like they don't even have him listed at the minor league level or anywhere else. So I don't know. I don't know what he did the last couple of years. I guess he's just been working out. Oh no, here it is. I found it. So He did play in the Venezuelan Winter League, and he also spent some time with Long Island in the Atlantic League. It was just a total of 42 games. Total, 22 in Venezuela and then 20 in Long Island. He hit decently, though, 284 in one, 258 in the other. So.
The Atlantic League, is that independent or is that minor?
I believe that's Long Island. I believe they're independent. Yeah, they're an independent team, or league, I should say. It's approximately eight teams with 126 game season.
Huh.
So, and then last year Long Island went 69-57. So
is that the Ducks or whatever, the team that signed Carlos Zambrano and a bunch of other
Ducks,
big names?
I think we talked about it. Didn't James Loney just sign with the Sugarland Skeeters? They won the Freedom Division last year at 81-45. So
it's pretty interesting how
that
league survives.
Yeah, besides the Skeeters, they have the Lancaster Barnstormers. I love that name. The York Revolution. Here you go, Dan. Maybe we should root for the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. They have the Somerset Patriots. You mentioned the Long Island Ducks. They got the New Britain Bees. And then this team here, Dan, is just called the Road Warriors. And they were 29-97.
Oh, not nice.
I have to look at the roster just to see if there's anybody on here we actually know. And it does not look like it. So, what about pitching? No, definitely nobody we would know, Dan. So maybe that's why they were 29-97. And maybe that's why there's a fluctuation because they they only have approximately eight teams, so you never know when there's going to be one that disappears.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see how those leagues survive or make their money. You know, I mean, by me, locally, we have the Joliet Slammers, I think their name is these days. They've changed it like so many times over the last 10 years. Maybe it was only like two or three times. But, they've got the local hospital. That's the name of the field. It's in downtown Joliet, which nowhere near anything like downtown Chicago, not to get your hopes up. But then, you know, we had the other team just open up, and I'm not sure what independent league they're a part of, and that's the Chicago Dogs, which I think technically play in Rosemont, but
yes.
When you're by O'Hare, you can say you're in Chicago, even though you're about 30 miles west of Chicago.
Come on, Dan.
You know, we look at
Chicagoland Speedway, okay?
Yeah. Which is about 5-10 minutes from my house. But, nobody we'd recognize. I think there was a former draft pick that was on the Dogs that, you know, we only knew because we went and looked. So it's interesting how these leagues survive and make some money.
But while I'm thinking about it, Dan, I wanted to know if did you have a chance to take a look at the Pecota projections for this coming season in baseball? You know, they put theirs out every year. So I was wondering, did you jump on and take a look? Because I thought some of these were pretty interesting.
No, not yet. You know, many years ago I brought it up to you and you told me, what the hell is that?
Yeah,
you must have
well,
said
it you know, I learned. But here, for what they have for division winners in the American League, Dan, they have the Yankees in the East, no surprise the Indians in the Central, and then the Astros out West. The wild card teams, according to this, will be the Red Sox and the Rays. So we're getting three playoff teams out of the East.
They're based on the East
then,
Coast, right, in Connecticut?
That I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me if they were. Now, in the National League, they have the Mets, the Brewers, and the Dodgers winning the divisions. And the wild card teams, according to the records here, will be the Nationals and the Cardinals. Now, what's really interesting here is they do not have a team in the NL Central finishing under 500. They have the Brewers at 89-73 to win it, the Cardinals at 86-76, which would give them the second wild card spot. They have the Cubs at 82-80, and then the Reds and the Pirates at 81-81.
Pretty interesting. Glad computers can't predict the future, though, because I don't see it.
Yeah, they have the White Sox. They have the Royals as a 71-win team, and the White Sox as a 70-win team. The computer seemed to like 500 for a lot of teams. Not only does he have the Reds and the Pirates there, but they have the Twins, the Angels, and the Diamondbacks all finishing at 81-81. So that really seemed to be the random number for it that it just wanted to come up with. Now normally their win totals are a little low, but they have the Astros at 99. So if that's going to be low for the Astros, that's going to be interesting. It's Astros and then Indians and Yankees at 96, and the Dodgers are the top National League team at 95, and they're the only National League team they have winning more than 89 games. Kind of interesting. I know the Orioles are projected to be the worst team in baseball at 57-105. They actually give the Marlins 66 wins, so they're pretty well ahead of the Orioles there. Oh, excuse me. So yeah, I don't know if you're how big of a believer you are in this, or what you think, but at least it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, why not just give everyone at 500 except for who you think is going to be the worst team?
Yeah, so, I'm sure, there's probably a boatload of Cub fans freaking out. I think they're a lot better than an 82-80 team. I don't know what the Cubs did to them to kind of get, as I would put, crapped on like that, but I can't see them being, they'll be closer to 90 wins than 80, don't you?
I think so. I mean, I don't know. The Cardinals made one really nice signing, and now they're taking it over.
Yeah.
You cannot predict Dexter Fowler, but just one signing, and all of a sudden they're taking it over. And, you and I talked about this before. While I think the Brewers did a really great job last year, I don't see them doing it again. But your elaboration from the break.
Can you sell me on the Brewers? I mean, that's the problem I have with a lot of this is, while I think the Brewers are a good team, I just don't know, are they going to be that good of team? I mean, we've talked about them so much and, what they do and what they have planned and, I'm just not sure. I mean, can Jesus Aguilar, repeat the success he had last year? Was that his breakout year, or was it just, just an anomaly of, what things were at that point in time? And again, that's one of those fun things about baseball that, you really can't tell, and then of course the question being how long does the bullpen hold up? I mean, if they're planning on doing it the way, everybody's talking about, I mean, you're going to need big and I mean big innings out of your bullpen, and I, you know, where are you going to get it? You know, I mean, you're going to burn guys out, and you know, I mean, while Knievel is a solid closer, he had his issues last year, and he had some injuries. You know, obviously Hader is a stud, but you know, can you use him on back-to-back days? You know, I mean, or how many innings can you get out of these guys? I mean, there's, you know, so many questions that you've gotta plug in with this team. And I mean, when you know, even when you, you know, you jump on the daily lineup, and I'm gonna pull it up here so I can actually know. You know, I mean, right now, you know, they're still penciled in with Corey Spangenberg as their second baseman. So, you know, I mean, you look at the everyday. Now, obviously, you know, Lorenzo Cain is good. Yelich is an MVP. They have Aguilar, you know, put in the third slot. Again, you know, can he do it again? Then we got Travis Shaw, who is a big-time power hitter, but, you know, is he anything more than that? Ryan Braun appears to be on the downside of his career. Still a good player, but on the downside. You know, Yasmani Grandel is a big-time power-hitting catcher, but, you know, he's still going to hit you 240, 250 and strike out a bunch. Orlando Arcia really hasn't found his offensive groove at the major league level. Maybe this is the year he does it. And then you're looking at Spangenberg in the 8-hole, who was a Padre washout. So, you know, while there are good things in the lineup, is that an 89-win lineup if they don't all play over their heads like they did last year? You know, and then, you know, you stumble into the rotation here, and they have Julius Chacin penciled in at number one, and while he was really good last year for the Brewers, and again, they ended up winning 15 or 16 games, is he really the stud number one you want? You know, and then Chase Anderson, you know, another really solid pitcher, and then it's, you know, Zach Davies, Brandon Woodruff, and the returning Jimmy Nelson, who really is the key to all this. If you don't have Jimmy Nelson, you can make a better rotation. But, you know, then you're looking at the bullpen going, man, are you guys going to, because they're talking, you know, pitchers are going to go 4, 5, maybe 6 innings at the most. Where are you going to get these innings out of the bullpen? If you bring Knievel in, he's an inning guy. Hader really should be an inning guy, but I know they stretch him out. Jeremy Jeffers is another guy who should just be a one-inning guy, but they stretch him out. So you're looking at Corbin Burns, Matt Albers, Alex Claudio, Jacob Barnes, and then Junior Guerrero, a former starter, to eat up the rest of those innings. That's a lot to ask through 162 games then. So while I think they'll be a good team, I honestly don't think they're a playoff team.
No, and the only way you can even try to sell me on it is if, for some crazy reason, they go and sign Craig Kim.
Yeah, well, you know, I think in reality they got to find somebody to play second base. You know, I mean, if you're going to work with Corey Spangenberg as your everyday second baseman,
yeah,
that's, you know, and I mean, I know they got a big-time prospect, Keston, I believe it's pronounced Harua, but he's only in Double-A, so he's still a couple years away from being, you know, the everyday second baseman, if that's what they're looking at. You know, I mean, I know they have Tyler Saladino, who could play there, but again, while that may be an upgrade over Spangenberg, I don't know if you want Tyler Saladino as your everyday guy either. I mean, last year he had to take over as the everyday shortstop, so, you know, we'll have to see how it all shakes out here. But, yeah, I think, you know, with the exception of, like, Cain and Yelich, the Brewers need guys to have above their normal season to contend. So I kind of think 89 is a little out there for them.
Yeah, and I like Travis Shaw, but I don't think, you know, he's going to continue up. You know, their first baseman, the guy who came back from Japan, you know, I was excited for it. And, you know, this year was kind of an okay season. You know, I mean, you know, why not do what every other team did last year in the National League and take a chance on bringing Joey Bats up, because what the hell, you might not have to pay him a whole lot of money. But why aren't they talking to Jeter again? You know, you're not a big fan of the second base position. I mean, you know, all names that are being thrown out there, you know, Starlin's not one of them that's being highly touted or anything. He's still literally an everyday player. He can hold that second base position down. And, you know, when you come to Chicago, kind of create, you know, a little semblance of a rivalry between fans or whatever. I don't think, like you've discussed before, that rivalries aren't really alive anymore, and not just baseball, but any of the sports. You know, it might mean a little bit more to the fans when, you know, the Cardinals come to town, not so much the Brewers yet, but, you know, I think for the Brewers, if they were to make that move, that, you know, might get them, just solidify them a little bit more, but I don't see them as the first place team in that division. And I don't,
you know, what
I just don't understand, you know, just because you have Jason Hayward and you didn't sign Bryce Harper to a 30-year, you know, $700 million deal, that disqualifies you from going into the playoffs. You know, and this is not just a homer thing. You know, and that's one of the things, like, I don't understand. You know, and I guess you can't say it's definitely not a homer thing, because half the homer fans think that the Cubs aren't going anywhere now because they didn't sign Machado or Harper. And I just don't buy it. You know, Ricketts even came out, was like, hey, we've got the team. You know,
yeah,
I mean, maybe it would be nice to entertain having those guys, but they don't need them to get to where they're going or where they want to be. They need to get out from underneath a certain manager, but it's a whole other topic.
You know, maybe Milwaukee's not interested in giving up any more of their prospects, because they did move a few of them lately. But, you know, there's no reason you can't go out. Josh Harrison is still sitting out there on the free agent market. You know, at this point in time, you got to figure he'd be willing to take a one-year deal with an option so he could fill the gap until you think your prospect is ready. He's definitely a better second baseman than Corey Spangenberg. You know, I mean, the only difference is Spangenberg's a lefty. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it looks like a really good fit, but for whatever reason, Harrison is just still kind of hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but all right, well,
hey,
enough,
you know,
of this. It is Thursday. No, you're not off the hook. It is Thursday, so Dan is prepared to give you his movie pick for the weekend. So what did you come up with for this weekend?
Well, it is a sports show, and normally it's sports movies. But I totally flaked on it last weekend, or this past weekend, because I really, really wanted to watch Ant-Man and the Wasp. I mean, it's kind of a sport.
You have one job on this podcast. One job. So, I don't have to do anything else. So,
yeah, well, you know, it was that, and then the Super Bowl got in the way. I actually watched the whole thing. That got in the way. And I don't know. I mean, it's a Marvel movie. It's got nothing to do with sports. I couldn't even, you know, find a sport. You know, like some movies have the, you know, Batman flew over a football stadium, and, you know, I think Superman did once too. And, yeah, there was definitely some sports involved in that movie, but it was pretty cool. I can't tell you any of the actors' names except for Michael Douglas. Or no, was it? Michael's the younger one, right? Well, his dad was Kirk, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So Michael's the younger one, but, you know, that's according to me growing up in the 80s and 90s, fallen. So, and then I thought it was pretty cool that they landed Michelle Pfeiffer in this movie. So that was pretty solid. Do you remember her from Scarface? I don't know any movie she's ever been in. Never really watched. Oh, Batman Returns.
Yeah.
But there's no sports
so,
in that
yeah.
either. But, you know, she was in Scarface, and her character was from Baltimore, which Frank Robinson played for the Orioles. So there you go, Big Jack. I linked it all up. I got it all together. But, no, it was actually, you know, it was a pretty cool movie that Scott, I think, is the main character's name. Ant-Man, it's pretty cool. Kirk Douglas. Now, I guess why I like some of the Marvel movies. Some of them kind of suck lately, but this one was a pretty good one. If you got Netflix, I'd entice you to check it out. I'll have to go through this weekend and really watch one. I still have to find Slapshot. Or no, Youngbloods, that's what I'm trying to find for free. But, you know, the one thing that I really want to bring this up because I knew you would remember is did they do Ant-Man in, like, the 70s or 80s? Some kind of – because I remember vaguely remember some kind of you know, TV show or movie way back then. And, you know, I don't know if Douglas was in it, but, you know, they definitely used that weird kind of music. And, you know, did they do this, Ant-Man, back in the day?
I remember the cartoon where it was actually an ant. You know, but that was
that.
A cartoon. Yeah, so I don't know if there were any other Ant-Man things, but I did happen to catch an older, I think it qualifies as a sports movie. So, you know, I stumbled onto Summer Catch the other day.
Ooh.
Which they do list as a romantic comedy, but it is Baseball Central. You know, the main character
is
Ryan. Yeah, it's Ryan Dunn, who plays for the Chatham A's, trying to make the major leagues. So they, you know, they go through a bunch of that. But yeah, it's Freddie Prinze Jr. Jessica Biel is his main love interest. Brittany Murphy is also in it, and Matthew Lillard is the catcher. Brian Dennehy is the old crotchety manager of the Chatham A's. So yeah, they, you know, it's the, you know, not the greatest baseball movie, but it's solid. And you know, there are a couple of humorous lines, like they're in the bullpen while the game's going on, and Prince's character turns to the big time bonus baby. I forgot the character's name. And he asks him why the one pitcher is always asleep. And he said, well, he's the closer. He doesn't need to be up till the ninth inning. So, you know, there are some humorous, you know, some humorous things there. But, you know, I believe, you know, Wilder Valderrama is in. He's the second baseman. And, there are some interesting baseball scenes in it. But, yeah, I don't know if it completely qualifies as a baseball movie. Sports in it.
Hey, I mean, it's definitely one of the sports movies that, you know, if you have a wife or girlfriend, maybe that could be watched with, right? Maybe.
Oh yeah, because it's definitely, you know, it definitely falls into the romantic comedy genre, just kind of based around, you know, a baseball theme. So
yeah, I'll tell you one movie I will not ever watch. We will never review it because I will never watch it. And that's the Jimmy Fallon, Drew Barrymore, Boston Red Sox.
Oh,
movie.
God. Don't forget to put it to the game. You don't have to worry about it. Well, I always appreciate the following live. I do apologize for the following. I'm getting up. I'm going to be on your own.